Welcome to Idea of the Future. I'm Joshua Yunkin. In June of this year, philosopher David Berlinski spoke before a live Manhattan audience at a Socrates in the City event, hosted by humorist and biographer Eric Metaxas. Berlinski's talk has been divided into three segments. In the previous two segments, Berlinski traced modern scientism and its antipathy to religious belief to the dawn of the Enlightenment. And he illustrated the ills of modern scientism with a look at the social phenomena of the new atheism, which he weighs in the balance and finds wanting. In the following, Berlinski closes out his talk.
In 1915, Albert Einstein published the field equations for general relativity. Remarkable, beautiful equations, where he drew a connection between the curvature of space and time and the behavior of matter. It was a new theory of gravity, a radical theory of gravity, an accurate theory of gravity. And of course, the equations of general relativity are very complicated. They're nonlinear, it's not easy to solve them. They have many, many levels of hidden complexity and meaning. Even 90, 100 years later, we hadn't finished with the equations of general relativity. Einstein had hoped that they would reveal a universe proceeding sedately from the everlasting to the everlasting. He looked and said, yeah, well, I can figure out a way to make my equations do that. What his equations were really telling him, and he didn't see this, is that the universe is not proceeding from everlasting to everlasting. It is expanding. It's expanding dynamically. Space and time are erupting. And if it's expanding, if you run the equations backwards, it follows, does it not, that the universe must have been expanding from something, an initial point. When Hubble discovered the redshift in the late 1920s, building on earlier work by American astronomers, he confirmed the expansion of the universe. And Einstein said, not to have seen that in 1915 was my greatest blunder. My greatest blunder. So the picture that's offered by cosmology today is a picture of an expanding universe. The inference, almost irresistible, is that it is a universe expanding from an initial point when the universe was much smaller, much hotter, much denser, much more compact than it is today. A universe erupting out of nothingness 15 billion years ago, may I ask you, suggests just what as an ancillary text? Well, I wouldn't know. What might it suggest in the beginning? Physicists at first were thunderstruck. Arnold Penzias was one of the discoverers of the microwave background radiation. He said, hey, I didn't need to study physics. It's all in the first five books of the Torah. Everything I needed to know. But of course, the counter-reaction set in immediately. No, this can't quite be the case. Where would we be as the sole interpreters of the book of God's work if, God forbid, there was another class of experts who had said it all along? So the community of physicists has been arduous in trying to discover what's behind the Big Bang. The theories that result are really like some grotesque catechismal exercise. Well, what was behind the Big Bang was a pre-Big Bang. And the pre-Big Bang was kind of like an egg. Only it wasn't really an egg, just kind of like an egg. And that egg sort of contracted, or maybe it sort of inflated. Or as Vic Stenger would argue, No problem. This is the result of some other universe tunneling into what? Tunneling. Quantum mechanical tunneling. Or as Stephen Hawking would argue, if you look at things the right way, you don't have to go back. You change the whole number system, and instead of going back to a singular point, you reach something like a sac. All times are the same. It's called a Wick transformation in quantum mechanics, where it works perfectly. It's absolutely nonsense in terms of cosmology. Oh yeah, the Wick transformation does the job. What is so interesting about these exercises in speculative cosmology is, of course, the fact that they're absurd. The facts widely accepted by the cosmological community are quite simple. 15 billion years ago, the universe erupted out of what seems to be nothing. The trouble with those facts is that sitting here, under the impression of the authority of the scientific community, we can't make any sense of them. It's incoherent. From nothing, nothing. What are we to say? We can't say, in all good conscience, what we might wish to say. Look, there's a biblical tradition. It says it perfectly clearly. In the beginning, God created the heaven. What more do you need? That's not sophisticated. That's not compelling. That cannot be expressed in the recondite language of mathematical physics, although it can be expressed in plain English and is expressed in plain English. These animadversions sit very ill with the community of professional cosmologists. They are made uneasy by it. We are made at ease by the same animadversions. This is another example, I think, where the scientific community has endeavored with an enormous amount of energy to say to the rest of us, and of course I count myself as a member of the scientific community, I'm trying to straddle the fence. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Each of these large, culturally significant attempts has had a tremendous influence on American society, and also on European society. And they have all been, in some respects, intellectual failures. What conclusion should we draw from all this? I'm not sure. How things will play out, largely unknown. That's always as it's been. When I was thinking about this talk this afternoon, I recalled a wonderful story about Sir Richard Burton, the great imperial explorer, not the actor. Burton was a profound Arabist. He was deeply involved with Arabic culture. And he loved the desert. At the end of his life, sick, depressed, seeing death coming, he said to himself, following an Arab tradition and poetry, "We are as if embedded in a desert tent. As the evening is drawing on, we see a few stars in the sky, and what we hear receding in the distance is the tinkle of camel bells." That is, I think, where we all are, and perhaps we all should be. Thanks very much for listening.
That concludes David Berlinski at Socrates in the City, on the rise of scientism and the, quote, arrogance of the scientific community, end quote, from its Enlightenment roots to its modern manifestation in the new atheism. This has been ID the Future. I'm Joshua Youngkin. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.